Well, let me get started with the breathing and talking and stuff. Just had a little conversation in the back before we started, but yeah, I got a bunch of guests. I started growing my YouTube channel. My name is Karel Mergel. I've been growing the YouTube channel for quite a bit of time, but I started being really active a couple of months ago, and I've seen some growth connected to people, and now here we are. So yeah, I started talking. I was talking now just to connect. Was on the LinkedIn, and I started doing. I changed my strategy because I always adjust no matter what I do. I always try to adjust, use a strategy and stuff like that. So it's been a year and a half that I've been really trying to build my YouTube, the LinkedIn channel. And first, I started on NC Web Dev, did a bunch of webinars, and then at the end of last year, I said, you know what? Let me start doing my personal profile. So I started posting every day. And first month, I just posted. And I was really getting no engagement. So I was like, you know, all these people get these likes and comments and stuff. And the trick is very simple. You have to spend about an hour to do a, 20 minutes to an hour to prepare a good post every day because the algorithm is happy. But then what you need also is engagement. And you not it's social media, so you can't just post. It's not a poster, it's not a billboard. You need to engage with other people. So once I started doing that, which was about the end of Christmas time, I saw the growth, and all of a sudden I get 20, 30, 40 comments and likes, and all it took was another hour to two a day of just engaging with other users on the platform. So that was the big change, and now here we are. And I met Dejan. I met Jamie, who should be logging in shortly too. And the other thing is with my son Karel, we've been building a YouTube channel for a while now. So he'll talk more about that after me. And that's the basic thing. So I mean, LinkedIn is just about engagement, and now it's growth. And now I met the right people. It's one of the biggest problems I had last year. Was that on the NC Web Dev webinars? I tried to bring on guests, but if you're trying to get a guest who's not used to the camera or even social media, good luck with that. You're not gonna get that. Because I got rejected so many times, and I was like, this is not the right way to do it. So I started looking online, and that's how I got a bunch of people now that we actually four of us set our schedules and synchronize them and be online. But anyway, so that's about the LinkedIn growth. So I can help you with that definitely if you need to. If you have any questions, send me a DM and I can help you adjust and whatever else. But my biggest thing is websites, and that's something that I'll tell you one thing is the biggest push in SEO in impressions of the website that we have, the NC Web Dev website, was when we started a YouTube channel. Because we put the website on YouTube. And the impressions quadrupled in like 1 week, just because now the website has a link back from an active YouTube channel. So that was one of the biggest things. But for websites, the other big thing is, of course, user experience. That's what we focus on, and security. If you noticed, Facebook and Meta and I mean all of Meta platforms and Instagram and YouTube had big outages. So, that's cybersecurity. And yeah, you need to really focus on that. And maybe even your website was used in that hack or in that attack, because the reason why your website needs to be protected is that so that the hacker doesn't take over, not because he wants to steal your data, but he wants your computing power, because then he can pool it with other computers, and then he can make a DDoS attack on Facebook. And instead of buying it, it's much easier to hack if you're not protected. So protect your websites. And again, that's one of the biggest things that we focus on in NC Web Dev is website security. And we'll talk more about all this stuff in our conversation, but that's enough for me, an introduction. And let me hand it over to my son, who's building a YouTube channel for more than a year. He's been watching YouTube videos forever, ever since he was 8. And it took me a couple of years to get him to actually get on the other side of the camera. So it worked. And let me turn it over to him, and he'll tell you about his experience and journey with YouTube and all the stuff that he got done in the last year. So there you go, Karel. Go ahead. Take it away.
All right. Hello. Yeah, my name is Karel Mergel. I'm the son of Karel here. And I haven't gotten ready for this. I haven't made a lot of preparations, but I started building my YouTube channel in May of 2022. I started uploading like long form content I made in Canva, and it was just basic animations, basically talking about website stuff mostly. And I had a voiceover in there, which for me was actually pretty stressful, even that voiceover, you know. So then I kind of just slacked off during the summer of 2022. And then in 2023, in March, I started doing YouTube Shorts daily, almost daily. But there have been around, today I'm going to release the 321st episode of the YouTube Shorts. So I have been pretty consistent with it. I slacked off in December because, first, I was busy with some stuff. I couldn't find the time for it, and I just didn't want to do it. And then I picked it back up in January. I had the highest subscriber growth, by the way. It was like, I forgot what the subscriber count was, like 80 something in 1 month. And right now I have 458 subscribers. What I really wanted to get into is how you can get successful with YouTube Shorts. So that would be consistent, like I've been consistent, and don't take long pauses. Okay, 1 day pause, sure, not too often though. But I took like a 3 week, 4 week pause, and YouTube just stopped recommending me. That was my experience with, like, the channel went almost dead. So then I picked it back up and I started growing again because, consistency drives the algorithm. And the specific aspects of the YouTube Shorts that I worked for me were a good title. You have to have a good title. That's the beginning of everything. You have to put a power word in there in the first three words, at least. You have to have emojis. I put like two in the front. If it's a breaking news thing, I just put like an alarm or a little lightning there or whatever. And two at the end, which not a lot of people notice, but some do, like when they're in the short. So it adds to that effect. And also the second thing is hashtags. You have to have good hashtags. I like to usually not split them up and just like keep them in one niche. Like, for example, if I'm doing a video about AI, I'm going to have a hashtag of AI, artificial intelligence, ChatGPT, OpenAI. You get the idea. And also, I put four in the title, and then like five in the description. So that's the hashtag part. And then also with the video itself, I like to keep it under 30 seconds, maybe. And in those 30 seconds, you have to have a lot of content ready for the viewer, and you have to pick your sentences very carefully, and you have to see what interests the viewer. Obviously, you have to relate it to the viewer, and also you have to storytell. Personal experiences worked for me the best. There's a comment. How can I join with you? Anyways, so personal experiences worked the best. And also, like, breaking news, those by themselves can work well. For example, when Elon Musk, told the, everybody to go F themselves, those advertisers that pulled their advertising from his, from X or Twitter, that got a lot of views because I put a clip of, him saying it and, all that stuff. So, yeah. And then also, that's the next thing, using sometimes other clips. I like to source. I like to provide the source for them because it's, nice But you don't have to really provide the source if you don't want to, because it's fair use, unless you use it to promote your products. Without a source, like, you know, like, for example, you just take a clip of somebody, you know, motivationally talking, you know, like doing a motivational speak, and then you just, you know, fade to your like little product page or whatever. Yeah, you can't do that, because that they can sue you for copyright infringement, obviously. So yeah, but in YouTube Shorts, if you're talking about a different topic, or if you're talking about, for example, that Elon Musk video, I you don't have to source it, but I do. And then also, what was the fourth thing? The fourth thing was, to keep your attention going. You have to have some elements in the video that will keep the viewer engaged. So I usually put like, I take screenshots from, different articles that I read, and then I just, put them in the video, put some effects on them, put some sound effects on them, and yeah, you know, so that retention is kept throughout the video. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. I like to put on 30-second videos like 4 images, 5 images max, but that sometimes doesn't even fit. And you don't want to overwhelm the viewer either, because if you do overwhelm the viewer, they'll just click off and leave, and they won't want to watch it short.
And just by the way, YouTube recommends the 15 seconds, but how hard is that?
15 seconds.
Any message out in 15 seconds.
Yeah, 15 seconds. I like, for YouTube Shorts, 15 seconds is only good if you want to do like a just a funny video, comedy video, or whatever, like showing something. But you can't talk about something in 15 seconds, because that's just, that's pretty much impossible. Storytelling, you would have to break it down into like 5 second pieces, 3 5-second pieces. You know, I have to have a beginning, some kind of a, you know, a little twist, and then an end, and that's all in 5 second parts. That's impossible.
So, you don't get much out in 5 seconds.
No. And yeah, so that's why it's like I do 30 seconds, depending on the topic, of course. If it's like a short one, and if you want to make a short one, it's just like it can be 25 seconds. 25 seconds is like my shorter videos. My shortest video was like 18 seconds, but that's like, you know, I just have to talk fast. And then yeah, the regular videos around 35, even 40 seconds. But above that, it's either too long, or you don't get enough elements into the video for it to generate attention. So
get your point across, even. Yes. To get the punchline in.
Yeah. And then so you also have the data that you have to look at. So that means the amount of viewers that viewed your video, the swipe away rate, the retention, of course, engagement, that means comments, dislikes even, and you know, likes. So of course, subscribers. Subscribers, I think they drive subscribers along with comments. They drive the algorithm pushing your content to other people forward, you know. So that's also that. And the view rate, the swipe away rate needs to be low. I would say for me, my it actually varies. Sometimes my videos I got in the first burst, I got like 45% viewed. They actually went up and they got like 60% viewed in the end. That's just an example, though. Like, usually those that go up have like an above 50% viewed rate. Best one was above 60 or 65. That was my I think best one. It was like 66,000 views, and it was 68% viewed. And then also the retention, it depends on the video length. Again, if you have a 20 seconds or less video, you have to keep it above like 90 and above, 90% and above. So they have to watch pretty much your entire video if you're doing that short of a video to be really successful with that. If you're doing like a 30 second video like I do, well, that goes a little bit down, but you have to keep it, again, like 75 to 80% is the number, something like that. Yeah.
And to keep it a feed.
To keep it, keep the algorithm pushing it out to other viewers.
And then you have a couple of videos that were just picked up like 6 months later.
Oh Yes, I did a video about Walmart self checkouts, I believe. Oh no,
harassed by Walmart.
Oh yeah, I got harassed. It was actually at Kroger, and you can go watch the video. That's where I tell my story of how I got harassed at a Kroger self checkout because of hallucinating AI camera. That I uploaded in November, and it suddenly just started gaining traction. You know, in February, like at the end of February. So even these videos can. Even these videos can blow up months later
for whatever reason. Nobody knows. The algorithm
algorithm is so complicated that not even the YouTube employees, Google employees, nobody knows how it works anymore. It's just so complicated that, and it changes his mind. They change its mind, or the algorithm changes its mind every couple of months. You know, so it's like every 3 months there's a change, and suddenly they start pushing your video out a different way. So that means like sometimes it has a first wave. Like at first it worked always like this: first wave after 6 hours it was usually big, and then it either stopped or if it had good statistics it would go up again. And now it's like, then it changed like two or three times, and now it's like, just either steady growth and then it just like blows up, or just steady growth and it just flattens out. And yeah, that's the way now that the views grow. And by the way, back to the engagement, if you get a good concert of likes, comments, subscribers, and everything and all that, this can really also help boost the video. Since it can also boost the video in and of itself, but if you have a good view rate in as well as the retention, it'll of course go viral. But in and of itself, it would get you like maybe for me at least like 2,000, 3,000 views maybe. Yeah, and
thanks for that. We'll ask some questions. We could have a discussion. I'll turn it over now to Dejan Krivec, who's from Slovenia, which is another example of how powerful the networking on LinkedIn is, and something I'm really excited about because, my favorite other country than Czech Republic, where I was born, is Croatia, that I have family and friends in, and always used to pass by Dejan a couple of years, you know, for just going to Croatia through that small little slit called Slovenia. but now being in Bloomington, Illinois, I get to meet a guy from a country that me and my son used to go through. He was there too. We slept over with him in Ljubljana. So, and he's a master in mastery lies in utilizing websites to generate leads, but not only websites, also other things, and tracking conversions and PPCs. And overall, how do you generate leads? I mean, you know, here's Dejan. Take it away.
Yeah, thank you, Carl. Yeah, it's you're right. You can cross the whole country in one hour and a half. So it's not really big, but it's beautiful if you will be in the Europe one day. Slovenia, it's the must to for visit. So my digital marketing path started about 2008 with my own e-commerce business. But because I didn't have enough money to pay someone for doing marketing for me, I started to learn about it by myself. So, but in the last 3 years or so, I exited basically from all projects I was involved as a founder or SEO, and focused just on helping businesses win on this digital space. I'm working mostly with lead generation companies, coaches, consultants. I was also guest lecturer in a few business schools here in Slovenia, presenting about digital marketing at the National Business Chamber. And like you said, Carl, I helped various companies to reach other online goals with their marketing. So today I prepared, I think it's 9 points. I think it's important in your lead generation campaigns. So first, I think it's important that you need to know what you are doing. having a, let's say, gut feeling is a great, but running a business on just that could be a disaster. So much healthier for businesses to make healthy decisions is based on numbers, so number-driven decisions. But for this, you need a decent tracking first. So not just Google Analytics code itself to implement in the web pages, but most important thing is tracking events. So you need to know when someone sends you a request, book a call, or make a purchase for your book or courses or consultants, etc. So this part is, let's say, as much important as implementing this general Google Analytics code into your page. The second thing is you need to know who your audience is. Everyone is not a good answer. You need to craft your ideal persona and talk directly to them. Their pain points, their tone of voice, and you need to craft solutions for them directly. Even if your service is technically for everyone, let's say, you need to communicate different with a 20-year-old party animal or to an 8-year-old granny. They have different pain points. You get attention with different hooks. You just need to know that they are on point A, and they want to be on point B, and you are that bridge between A and B for them. About lead generation problem, I got question all of the time. I need more leads, but I like to say no. You don't need more leads. You don't have lead problem, lead generation problem. You have lead conversion problem. Because even if you have some general service and put some ads on it, you will have a lot of leads. But the biggest question is what happens then after you get all those leads? Too many times companies just, let's say, send an offer, maybe one or two follow-ups. Two is a lot the most of the time, and that's it. But you need to work with those prospects, especially if you're offering service with longer decision cycle, if it's not some kind of let's say impulsive purchase. Also, one question I got a lot is, how many lead magnets do I need? So my answer is, I don't know how many. If you do one, the really good one is enough. But on the other side, you can make 100 lead magnets, but it won't be enough for your business. Some practical solution could be start with 5. And then after a few time, you will see which of these 5 will bring you the leads and which doesn't. But then don't stop with just 5. You will get some statistic. You will know what is interesting for your audience, which lead magnets is doing well and which don't. Now you can create 2 or 3 more, put it online, and you will see again and again and again and again. This is like a breathing process. It's never ending. You need to implement, you need to measure, and you need to adjust. That's it. But sure, it's not just about how many leads you will get with a single lead magnet. It's also important. The most important is how many leads will convert at the end, where you will have your money from which lead magnet. And also be a little careful with lead magnets. You need to give them enough value, but don't give away everything. They should still need you. They should still pay for your service at the end of the day. Also, if you have, let's say, one bigger offer, it's great, but this offer actually costs $1, $5, $10K. And what about if someone wants to work with you but don't have $5K at this moment? So offer them just a bite of your main offer. Or if someone doesn't trust you yet to commit their money, you can also split your main offer into smaller pieces and charge smaller piece of money also for this. You can see your main offer as a peak of the mountain, but mountains have also different places, not just peak, right? Then we can say something about automation. You can automate as much as possible, especially with low tickets offers and digital products. There are a lot of services I'm mostly using for my clients' ActiveCampaign. I'm also working with MailerLite or ConvertKit. But you can also use some mind map. Draw a mind map about automations you have on place. For example, who is familiar with ActiveCampaign, then you know you can have multiple automations, and a single automation can manipulate also other automations. Let's say start it or end it or add a tag which also start another automation. So you need some bigger picture somewhere to see what will happen if happen. So this could be a complicated process, but at first you can make those automations simple. Do not overcomplicate it. Later you can add some steps, loops, ifs, and etc. to make them more complicated.
Is like what you talk about is exactly right, and the great place to do that is also through the website. We do it a lot on the e-commerce stores because you have the automations. Those are the ones that especially get to use those. E-commerce is like the big thing because, you know, sometimes you sell a $2 product and you don't want to have to go manually through every single step every time.
Yeah, especially if you have digital products. This is the automations is the lifesaver. Or also here in lead generation companies where you have different email flows, for example. Start this flow. If he clicks on this button, start this flow. If he buys one digital product, stop this flow and start third flow, and so on and so forth. But the important thing is don't wait your this process or these all flows will be perfect, because they won't be never. So perfection is the biggest dream killer in business life. So start as soon as possible, measure, adjust, try different flows. It's playing. What is difference between me now and me 20 years ago? 20 years ago, I knew everything, but today I know I don't have a clue. So I need to test everything.
I think it was 2-3 years ago, I tried to study the new thing which was added by Google to track these things, was the tags on the different pages and stuff. And then I started reading about it and I was like, you know what? I'm just going to get somebody to do that for me. I'm not even going to get involved with it. It's got like 10,000 parameters that you can set. And I'm like, let the programmers worry about it, because it's just not me. I can do the website.
I'm using just basically just two tags, just source and medium. And that's it, basically.
Yeah, but there's like millions of them. And people, like, if they want to get really detailed, like on every single page, you could put 50 of them. And then you got to track them in a central place. And Google Analytics is great because it does all that for you. But yeah, those are some huge maps of flows and tags and actions and inactions. And even if he doesn't do anything, you could set something to start. Well, you didn't do this, so are you really wanting, you know, like,
Yeah, I like Google. So I think it's enough what we need. So pretend you don't know nothing. So exactly. You need to test everything. Will this lead magnet work? Is headline A or B is better? I don't know. Test it. I don't know nothing. So you will be surprised at how wrong you can be in both ways. you might think this offer will be fire, but it's a disaster. Or vice versa. You think something is almost nothing, but brings you the most in the end. So
My son can attest to that with YouTube, because he comes out and he says, "This was my worst video ever." Yeah, and it gets 4,000 views.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you need to put it online. Yeah, but the second important part is you need to read this data and implement it into your next, let's say, video for your car. So it's not just about, okay, I'll test it, but what now? Okay.
Yeah.
So one thing about digital products is also important. Sell before you build. So you got an idea for your offer, especially if building this process will take a lot of time. You can test it first. Just outline this your new product, then start selling it. When you will get first sales, take a week off if needed and build this product from scratch, from zero to 80 or 90%. They will never be 100% done. What will you get with this approach? First, you will avoid spending hours or even days crafting offers nobody will buy. And second, you will focus just on building those where the market gave you a signal. This is a topic we're willing to give you the money for. So, but you need to know that then you will have just 2, 3 days or 4 to build from zero to some decent.
Yeah, we run into that on YouTube all the time too, because you kind of have an idea, and then as time goes by, you see exactly what topics will work best. And it's the same thing. It's just you see what works, and then you build around that. And then you think if you got it, and then it's like, well, no, people are no longer interested. You got to catch up again someplace else. So it's like it's always chasing and readjusting. That I agree with.
But we are still on the those we don't know nothing. We need to test, and we need to put online, and we will see. So okay, and for the end, you definitely need to use testimonials, use cases, how I did this, how my client overcome this, how my client achieved something. This is something that will bring you visibility and validity. You can share these posts on LinkedIn, or you can run awareness ads on Facebook as well. With correct settings, it will give you really, really, really good recognition. So the key to success is testing, automating, and continuously refining your strategy. This is just a journey when you need to work basically every day. You need to learn. You need to try. You need to fail and win. Fail and win. That's the journey.
Fail, and then feel dumb the next day.
Yeah, and feel dumb. Yeah, this I forgot this one.
It's like, oh, so, damn.
Damn, what I did. After all those years, I did this. My God.
Yeah, and Jamie joined us, so let's give some window of opportunity to Jamie now to talk a little bit, and then we'll get back to all the topics, different ones and stuff. So Jamie is a automation, I would say. He focuses on that a lot in processes and within the company. And foremost, I'd like to express my gratitude to you, Jamie, because I like to say that me and my son are pretty big on that, is thank you for your service to the country. It's always a big one for us. So thank you for that. And I'm happy you don't blast it all over the place. You're pretty low key about it, but thank you. So that's the introduction. And then we met Jamie again, another guy I met online because I started becoming active. He's from Springfield, Missouri, and he's been doing web development for years. Then he switched over into automation and now sustainability, because with me, I'll help you get introduction. I'll get the LinkedIn done. We'll build a website. My son can help you with the YouTube. Dejan will get you the leads. Now you're going to get busy. What do you do from there when you get overwhelmed with leads and sales? So, Jamie, there you go.
Well, it's nice. Thanks. Yeah, thanks for letting me jump on board and let me show up really quick. It's good meeting y'all and jumping on here. Yeah, it was neat hearing what you were talking about. Is it Dejan or Dejan? How do you pronounce it?
Yeah, it's Dejan originally, but you can say whatever. It could be DK. DK is it's
DK? I don't know. I didn't know how to pronounce it, but I like what you had to say when I came in about not really knowing what's going to work and what doesn't, you know, because it's all about testing. And I think that's pretty much business, if you ask me. Business is one big test, and it's figuring things out on a daily basis, no matter what it is, no matter if you're making videos, no matter if you're building funnels for lead gen or building websites, doing whatever it is, it's just a big test. And here's the thing. Anybody that says they have their, forgive my French, shit together, doesn't. And you can be as polished as you can possibly be, but you have absolutely no idea what's going to happen in the next month, 3 months, 6 months, 12 months. So I really appreciate that you went into that, DK, because I think it's really, that's the most, probably the biggest, most underlining point people need to understand when they venture out into business. And we all hope, right, that their lead gen goes well and they get more sales because the videos are out there and they click on the, yes, I want to learn more. And here's your big product and buy from you. And then they grow. And we want them to have tax problems. We want them to have hiring problems. Why? Because that means they're growing, they're scaling, they're living their passion. But if it's really important that you have to think about all of these different avenues. If you're going to be building a business, it's impossible to do everything at once. But it is very possible to build your business incrementally. In this case, how do you come up with a video marketing campaign? What do you need to do? What if you don't know anything about YouTube? How do you incorporate YouTube into your website? How do you get people to go view your YouTube channel? How do you work with the different social media channels and all that kind of stuff? Well, this is all a learning curve. And that's probably why, especially in the beginning or when you're running up against a wall, you need to reach out to somebody that has spent some time there and leverage their expertise. And a lot of people have a huge problem with what I like to say is you need to check the ego at the door. They have a huge problem with the ego. I can do everything, especially entrepreneurs. And we do pretty much do everything. The challenge is we're not good at everything. And so where we lack knowledge and or experience, it actually hurts us more if we try to pursue those things that don't bring us energy and we don't have the experience on. And here's why. Because if you're creating something, you want to make sure it is a brand with integrity. And where does that integrity come from? That comes from the place of your experience, what you know, what you like, what you enjoy doing. The second you start going outside of your expertise or the areas with which you gain a lot of energy from, you're going to be risking the integrity of your brand. That's why you lean on experts to do so. Now, you're going to need experts in every part of the business that you're not an expert in, right? I had a creative web agency, but I hate building websites, right? I can't stand building websites. And that's why we do distant assistance now. But I did it for quite a while because it was what we knew. But you know what I did is I hired web developers. They get a lot of energy off of building that stuff. I don't. The next thing that I would think of is lead gen. Well, I don't know anything about paid ads. I don't want to. I never want to do paid ads. but I need to find somebody who's an expert. So I reach out to them. Now I do video, of course, but how do I know if I've leveraged my video? Well, I get 25 views of video. My videos suck. So what do I need to do? I need to go out and find somebody that knows how to leverage videos and get more views. That's part of business and part of growing. And so what you need to be able to do is listen to the experts like DK, Carol, and Carol, right? You need to make sure that you understand exactly what it is that you need done and find out where does your expertise lie and where do all of those little things that make businesses work, where can you find experts to do something like that? Now, there's one thing that I think is really important to look at, and when you're, especially when you're scaling your business, because I've been burned. I think everybody here has probably been burned a couple times by building relationships. And seeing what's happening here today is people are actually sharing their knowledge. This is part of the trust building process actually happening right now. And what's really neat is people that donate their time to share their experience is fantastic. And I quite frankly, I don't think that happens enough. So to be able to provide a platform like this to answer questions, hopefully people will ask questions, because I noticed just a little while ago, there was about 18 people viewing at the time when I looked at it. But I think you need to ask questions. You need to participate. And first and foremost, you need to be intentional. So if you are a person that is starting your own business, running your own business, building your own business, scaling your own business, you need to understand what's most important to you. One of my favorite sayings is, it's actually our provocative point of view at Bottleneck. You need to stop doing the wrong things so you can focus on doing your best work. Basically, what does that mean? Stop doing all the shit that you don't get energy out of and start doing the stuff that you do get energy out of. Your life will drastically improve and turn around. And that way you can do whatever it is. I love doing stuff like this. I've had an incredible relationship since Carol and I met. It hasn't been that long, but we've had a couple conversations. I've loved following his journey. Every day he wakes up in a different part of the freaking country. It's amazing. But we have nice conversations and we go back and forth. You know what? That's the stuff that brings me energy. I like building my network. I like building relationships with people where maybe I can support them. They can support me. I love that stuff. What I don't like, I don't like answering emails. I don't like building websites. I don't like doing accounting. I hate freaking math to the bone. I can't stand it, but I understand it's important. So what do? I find somebody that loves every one of those things. I hire them, and then now they excel at that so that I can afford the luxuries of the stuff that I really love doing, like talking with you guys. So be intentional today. That was what I would challenge you with. So as anybody here is talking, set down your phone, take that thing and throw it, get it out of the way so that you can sit there and focus on this thing, because these people are giving up a lot of good information for you. And that's one of the biggest challenges that I had previously, was being intentional and being where I'm supposed to be and focusing tunnel vision on what it is that I was doing. And you may have seen me when I first came on here. By the way, I had a meeting, so I've already pre-discussed with everybody, letting everybody know that I had already a pre-scheduled meeting. So I was being intentional in that meeting as well. But when I shifted over here, I was on here knowing that I was viewable, but I was researching and making sure, saying how many followers we had and doing stuff. I was preparing myself to be intentional so that I show up here and make sure that anything that we get is done intentionally. It's so important. So that's all I really want to say. And I want to say thanks for having me here. So all the listeners, please pay attention. Get your notepad out, throw the phone away. Take advantage of the knowledge, because this is some good freaking knowledge.
And for me, I'd like to say, I mean, you must be a hockey player or something, because you hate math.
Oh, easy. I like X's and O's, but no math.
Because that's something you have in common with my son.
Yeah, 46 years played hockey. I love that.
So do you have the statue, by the way? By hand? Do you have the statue by your hand someplace there?
The statue?
Yeah, the little action figure.
Oh, up here?
St. Louis Blues. No, no,
yeah, 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 yeah.
With there you go. Oh, wow. There it is.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Top
yeah,
right I corner. Can see it, yeah. That's
Jamie, your phone is okay right now.
Is my phone? I needed to make a point. You gotta send that thing to
the. You could always get a
new this out, point. Man. This point was loud.
Yeah, yeah, but, no, it's good. You guys are dropping some good knowledge bombs, and I hope people understand that, you know, you gotta take if you're gonna spend some time, if you blocked off your calendar to attend this event right now. Attend this event right now. That's all I'm trying to say.
Yeah, I try to bring exactly people together, like from multiple areas and stuff, so that you get as many angles. Because everybody's like, "What do you do?" I'm like, "Well, I'll do everything, but I don't do everything myself." That's the whole point. Is, you know, I mean, I'm involved with my son's YouTube channel, but I was like, progressively over the year, I actually was the one who had to start it, but progressively over the year, he's taking over, and he comes to me, and I'm like, I don't want to listen to it. I don't care. That's not my focus. You worry about that.
I can help you do good work on it. That's for sure.
I can help you with some analytics. I can help you with, but don't bother me on a daily basis with the stuff. It's your channel. You do it. I don't care. I'm not a YouTuber. I don't want to be a YouTuber.
As much as I'd love to stay here, I have to excuse myself and go to class. So, but it was a very nice meeting all of you and all your stories. So, yeah, and I'll definitely watch the stream back to see what you guys said on the stream in the next hour. So,
by go to class, do you mean go play hockey or?
No, unfortunately not. Have to go to history class. So, yeah.
Oh boy.
Well, nice still in college.
Enjoy.
Yeah, thank
you. Started college.
Yeah. Good day.
Well, maybe you'll be back before the end. Anyway.
Potentially, if you're on after 11, then I'll maybe join back. But we'll see.
We'll see who sticks around. We'll see how much fun it is.
All right. Have a good day. Thank you.
All right. Be good. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay. I just remembered one more thing. I think surveys are the biggest lie possible. So the best voting system is voting with wallets. It's because if you will put a surveys out there, everybody will say, "Oh, I will love this. I will buy this if you will make this product." But when you do it, you can sell just to crickets here and there. So the best voting system for service is definitely voting with the open wallets. When people need to take his credit card from the wallet, the real survey is happening.
No, definitely. I mean, that's what it's about. It's about how much people are actually willing to pay for what you have. So, and Jamie, I want to ask you too before if you're going to have to head out soon. Also, I wanted to ask you because yesterday I was just contacted by somebody too, and we get this a lot, and it's a pretty growing LinkedIn now and getting more exposed, as I said, last couple of months and meeting you guys and multiple other people, the negative side of LinkedIn or any social media platform or for that matter, even offline stuff is the fact that you have, you're going to get bombarded by messages. Just yesterday, I think I got three different messages on LinkedIn about, oh, we can provide you virtual assistants. We can get you lead generations, appointment setters, and blah, 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 blah. And then you look at this, and it's all from different countries. And me being in America, I'm like, I'm not really going to be dealing with a company that's, I don't know, in Laos or Bangladesh and stuff, because I've been in business for decades. And the thing is, I have some friends that, you know, when they do these international businesses, they lose a lot of money because they can never find the people that are in that country. Because doing business in a different country, especially in Asia, it's like people get lost a lot. And the business, you'll never recover. So I mean, and I get these things every day. It's really like, oh, well, you want lead generation, and this thing, that thing. I mean, and then appointment center was the big one yesterday. So I'm glad that you have the virtual assistants and that you are an America-based company. And how do you deal with this? How do you view these things? And how do you set yourself apart from to know that you are actually a reliable source of these assistants that we get offered by the dozen every day?
Yeah. Yeah, this is, you know what? I think it's to each their own, to be honest with you. And I think if you're going to be making a decision, make it for decisions based on what your current needs are, or maybe even possibly what your future needs are. I think that's really important. Not every virtual assistant company is set up the same. Some are US-based. Some are US-based, but they outsource remote, from other countries like we do. Some are based in other countries. It just depends on what it is that you need and what fits with your business. Maybe it's a project-based thing and Fiverr works great. Maybe Upwork is fantastic. Maybe it's you need a US-based person for whatever reason. For me, the way that it works for us is we source candidates from the Philippines. I've been doing this for 18 years. Absolutely love it. I wouldn't change a thing about it, except for the potentially expanding into Central America so that we can have bilingual, which is currently in process right now. But it doesn't matter where you're from, Eastern Europe, Western, it doesn't matter in this world. And the reason why it doesn't matter exactly where you're from is because the talent pool has increased so much because our technology has become so freaking amazing, right? In 18 years ago, you know how I would get a proof? Today, I get it on Zoom, right? Or I get it via email, or I get it whatever way. I used a 9600 baud rate fax machine to fax, proofs of designs and things like that. It was crazy the level of technology that has changed. But you also have to figure out, what is it that you need? Right? What's gonna suffice for you? And it basically comes down to three things, and then I'll go ahead and wrap up. Number one, currently assess your situation. Assess your situation by performing a delegation roadmap. List out every single task you need done that does not bring you energy and that you can delegate to someone else. That's number one, assessing the situation. Number two is making sure that you have systems and processes in place for delegating all of those tasks. So for those tasks that you're delegating, what are the steps that need to happen? And you can do it either in video form or in written form. And I call this video or written deletasking. That's what I call it, is deletasking, because you're delegating the tasks either in video or written form so that you're building a video library of your SOPs. And the third thing that you need to do once you do that is set the task parameters, whatever your expectations are. In order for us to set our task up, we have four steps. Number one, name the task. Number two, confirm the task of the instructions that were given to you to make sure you're on the same page. Number three, review and approve. And number four, and this is the one that most people don't do, create a signal. What does that mean? What action needs to occur when that task is done? So those are the three steps that I would encourage someone to do no matter what they're embarking on. And even if you're at a stage at a place in time where you're not ready to hire somebody, there's a saying, when's the best time to plant a tree? 20 years ago. When's the second best time? Today. It's the same thing with your systems and processes. The best time to start your systems and processes so that you can develop roles to delegate to is on day one. There's a great saying by Scott Baby, do something as if it's the last time you're ever going to do it. And I'll say that again. Do something as if it's the last time you're ever going to do it. What does that mean? Document and delegate. All those tasks when you get ready to do them, where you have that feeling like, oh gosh, I got to do this. Okay, let me get ramped up for this, right? We all know that task or those tasks that we have to do in our businesses that we really don't get a lot of energy, but then they're important enough that we have to do them. Imagine if you only had to do that task one more time. Right? Start building your list of SOPs, your video library, deletasking, Start doing that today so that in 6 months, a year, 2 years, whenever that time comes, when you need to hire somebody, you're not running around like when a fire is taken off in your business. You're ready. You're prepared. Someone can come on board. They can watch your videos. They can read your written SOPs, and they know exactly what your expectations are. Take your ego, throw it out the side of the door, get what's in your head, write it down in those three steps that I talked about. Hopefully that helps you guys. I really hope so. And I do apologize, but I have a meeting that I have to get to.
And just one last quick question. On the average, using the virtual assistants or remote distant assistants, how you call it, what is the percentage-wise probably like expected savings that you can save to a company?
Ooh, 78%. 78% according to a 2023 survey conducted by Outsource Accelerator. 78%
of cost you save to.
But don't think of it as cost. Think of it as an investment. But you will save on average 78%, and it actually increases your efficiency and productivity levels.
Right. Yeah. Amazing. That's why I was curious about that, because I know, I mean, of course it comes out cheaper to have somebody remote, but yeah, that's significant percentage.
Yeah, but don't give up quality.
That's the
big, even for your savings, right? So I would highly encourage thing. That.
Yep. That's the whole thing. Mm-hmm. But that's where you come in, and that's where your service is, where you vet the people you provide, and then you guarantee it. So it's
absolutely.
You stand behind your product and service that you deliver.
I stand behind it, on top of it, below it, on the side.
Exactly. I mean, that goes for most of us in our areas as well.
Yep, and, exactly.
You know, while you can't promise success, you stand behind the product, and then you do whatever it takes to correct if something goes wrong.
We do our best, right? We can't control everything. So each
Murphy's
of us
law is always in Murphy's law is always in effect. It's just a matter of how quickly we can reposition and readjust to whatever goes wrong at the time. So, but yeah, that's the one thing that all customers come in is like, can you guarantee me results? Well, can you guarantee you're going to be here tomorrow? You know, like, are you going to still be alive tomorrow? So there's no guarantees. So, but I can guarantee that I'll provide my best.
Yeah.
And I will not second grade, whatever. I'll just put out my best. That's what it comes down to in any business. It's like everybody in a race or in a hockey game, like, a hockey game, Stanley Cup Finals, Game 7. What team is not going to put out their best? Well, you're going to win. Can you guarantee you win? No, because nobody does. Nobody can guarantee it. But they will put out their best. Especially, it's so much fun to watch.
Especially if the whole process is not on you, then you can't guarantee anything. I can guarantee you to get leads, but if your call center will not close those deals, I can't guarantee you nothing.
Yep.
Exactly. You could just do your own segment that you're involved in. Yeah, exactly.
I've got to get going. I'm 1 minute late to my next meeting. Okay, I apologize.
Great talking to you. Hopefully we can do this again.
Great meeting you too.
Have a good one.
Yeah, you too, Jimmy. See you.